Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 to 29, God's judgment on Judah's leaders for rejecting the message of God's prophet. Not only were Israel's leaders, that would be the northern kingdom, guilty of sin for rejecting the message of God's prophet, but Judah's leaders of the southern kingdom were guilty of the same sin, and God would judge them as well. Isaiah 28, 14 to 29 presents God's message of judgment on these rulers in Judah. And we view it for our insight. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Beginning at verse 14 of chapter 28. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Hades are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and in the hail, or the hailstorm shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with Hades shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning it shall pass over, by day and night, and it shall be a vexation only to be understood the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as Mount Perazim. He shall be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear, and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Does the plowman plow all day to sow? Does he open and break the clods of his ground? When he has made plain the face thereof, does he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For as God does instruct him to discretion and does teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is the cart wheel turned upon the cumin. The fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, or break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also comes forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Okay, we're going to have to decode a lot of this. After his Isaiah 28, 1-13 message of judgment on the rulers of the northern kingdom who mocked God's prophet, Isaiah addressed the rulers of Judah who scoffed God's messenger. Instead of trusting in Israel's God as Isaiah had taught, these rulers claimed to have made a covenant with death and Sheol. Sheol is the place of the departed dead. To explain, Isaiah was using imagery rich in the symbolism of Semitic mythology. I don't know if you know, the Semitic are the people who are the sons of Shem. And they're basically the Middle Eastern peoples, Arabs, Jews, and people like that. So this is imagery rich in symbolism of Semitic mythology in the Ugaritic pantheon. Ugarit, it was a town that lives, an ancient town, and the Ugaritic language is now a dead language, but it's a group of people that lived up in northwest of Israel, right up on the seacoast there of Syria. In the Ugaritic pantheon, death was personified as the god of the underworld. In other words, Judah's leaders boasted that instead of trusting in Israel's God, as Isaiah had directed them to do, they were trusting in pagan gods for safety, the pagan gods of Sheol and death and so forth. So when the overflowing scourge of the Assyrian invasion would pass through the land of Judah, these leaders believed it would not touch them. The men of Judah were also trusting in their use of deceptive, devious forms of politics with Egypt, coupled with their pagan idolatry, what Isaiah openly called actual lies and falsehoods. Well, in sharp contrast to this false set of securities, Isaiah presented the Messiah in Isaiah 28:16, describing him as a vast security to those who would trust in him opposite the false gods and the false works of Judah's leaders. So in place of the dreadful insecurity of false gods and deceptive politics, God said that he was laying a stone in Zion as opposed to Egypt, where the men of Judah were making political overtures to protect themselves from Assyrian advance. It's interesting, he didn't say, I'm laying a stone in Egypt, I'm laying a stone in Assyria, I'm laying a stone in Zion. All you need to do is to look in Zion, where the Messiah is going to be, and that's where you're going to get security. You don't have to go to Egypt for security. Very interesting. God was also laying a stone of testing. In other words, this is a stone that is approved for its reliability versus the futile efforts of Judah's leaders to gain a secure safety from the invading Assyrians. See, the most secure thing that people could think of in those days was a stone, a foundation stone, a large foundation stone that was dug deep into the earth and wouldn't be moved. And on the stone, you could securely build a palace or a wall. So this is the strongest, the most secure picture in that particular culture that he could use. Strong foundation. So we have outside our church, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, we have some pretty big stones there at the foundation here. And also out on our yard, we have some stones that go out. And those stones were quarried and sent across the river. And what they did is they waited until the river froze in the midwinter, because otherwise they wouldn't take them on a bridge. And they used oxen, and they pulled them across in the winter. And then they brought them over here, and then they built the building that we had. But these stones last. They don't go away. And so this is why the picture of a stone is being used here. It was also a precious cornerstone, a large one that supports the entire building structure. So God's stone would be the all-sufficient security for his people. It's a wonderful thing to keep in mind that God not only secures us in one area of life, he secures us in all. He's thinking of our health needs. He's thinking of our needs of protection from crime and criminals, our protection from... I heard one time there was a freight airplane that lost a piano, and the piano fell out of the plane and went right through the roof of a home and landed in the living room. Thankfully, nobody was killed. But, you know, freak accidents like that, God has it in mind, you know. So hopefully a piano doesn't come in anybody's living room recently, but that shocked me. I remember going home and looking at my living room ceiling and thinking, yeah, I wouldn't hold it at all. But anyway, a precious cornerstone. And then it was a stone of a fixed foundation, an immovable one opposite the shifting lies of devious politics that were being practiced by Judah's leaders. And then consequently, he who believed in God in reference to this stone, this Messiah, would not be in haste. That is, he would not end up lacking repose and rest, typical of Judah's rulers, whose way involved an agitated, excited, wearisome way when the Assyrian invasion actually occurred. See, if you're in a land, I don't know if you've ever been in a country when it's been invaded, I don't think any of us have, but there's a tremendous amount of unrest when you're being invaded, because you don't know what the enemy soldiers are going to do, you don't know what their intent is, and so forth. I remember when we were in Nigeria back in the late 1950s, and we went to sleep one night under the flag of Great Britain, because we were British protected. We woke up the next morning under the flag of Nigeria, and we got a visit from the local chief in the area. And we were given all little flags, the green and white flags of Nigeria, and we had to wave them like that. And I remember how unsettling that was. We had been under some protection with Great Britain. We were under more protection as American citizens. But all of a sudden, we were under a government that was completely run by Africans. And that hadn't happened in Nigeria for, many, many hundreds of years. So it was interesting. We just kept our eyes open and to see what would happen. But it was very nerve-wracking. So that's what he's talking about here in this situation. When you're relying on God, when the invasion occurs, you will have repose and rest. You won't have to be worried about it. Isaiah then relayed how God would deal with each specific false effort by Judah's rulers in verses 17 to 22. God would administer judgment and like a hailstorm sweep away the refuge of political lies, their covenant with death would be annulled, their agreement with Sheol, or the place of the departed dead, would not stand, and the overwhelming scourge of Assyria would pass through, beating them down to their sheer terror. So these men who are trusting in these false means of security were going to face the terror. The very terror that they were trying to avoid would come and find them. So seeking refuge by false gods would be as inadequate as lying in a bed that is too short or trying to cover oneself with a blanket that is too short. I don't know about you, but in the recent nights it's been rather cool and we don't have our heat on yet. And I'm awfully glad that we had blankets that were adequate and the bed that was adequate. But you can imagine what it's like to have to sleep in a bed where the bed's too short or the sheets are too short. You don't sleep. You're wide awake and it's cold. So this seeking refuge is something that would be like God's judgment would sweep down into Judah. So Judah's leaders were to stop mocking God's messenger through his message, through his messenger. It's interesting in verse 22, "Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth." Well, in Isaiah 28, 23 to 29, God offered a word of comfort amid all the woe of judgment. His discipline would last for a limited time. And just as a farmer uses different methods of crushing and harvesting to obtain the desired seeds from different kinds of plants, so God will judge, but he won't judge forever. And he will use just the right amount of punishment pressure to accomplish his desired production on his people. There's a little seed that's mentioned here, the cumin seed, the little tiny, almost microscopic. And you can't drive a threshing sledge over that, you'll crush the seeds. So what you have to do is you have to handle them differently. You have to use something by hand. On the other hand, if you're going to take wheat and you crush it out, or a grain like that, you put it on the ground and you crush it out with the driving sledge or the oxen drives over it. There are other plants that are in between. And the farmer has learned, because of the wisdom of God that's given to him, that you handle different plants different ways. And otherwise, you don't have a harvest. So God is very mindful of exactly how much punishment each of us needs, how much each of us can take, and how long to administer the punishment so that he gets the required or the desired purification in our hearts and lives. And it's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. So Judah's leaders who relied on false gods and lying methods to acquire protection and from invading Assyria would badly fail under God's terrifying purging judgment. But those who relied on him would find an all-sufficient secure rock. Graciously, however, even in severe judgment, God would be exacting and productive. So, may we not mock God's messengers and his messengers, but turn to him versus our false efforts, that we might know how no stable security in the time of divine discipline, opposite the sheer terror of those who face judgment. Many years ago, I was at a church, and there was an elderly man in the church. He normally didn't do all the speaking, but he was supposed to give the prayer meeting message, so he gave the message. And it was, he did his best. It was on the Holy Spirit. I never forgot it. It was on the Holy Spirit and how we are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit, and he's holy. And his main point was, if we recognize that we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit all the time, it might dramatically change how we act. And I thought, wow, I never thought of that. Very simple, very profound. After this elderly man passed away, it came to light that he had taken with him to his grave a sinful failure that his wife had committed many, many years before. But out of love for her, he wanted to keep it quiet, just between him and his family, and he did. And this, became, and eventually the whole church found out about this whole situation. I don't know how it surfaced. But my respect for the man went up 125% because I recognized in that message that he had given that Wednesday night, he was living it in front of us, and we didn't know it. He was acting graciously. He was acting protectively of his wife. And He was thinking in terms of his accountability to the Holy Spirit. So that message that he gave has been engraved into my mind, so to speak. I'll never forget it, even though that's the only message I heard this man give. And even though his delivery was rather weak because he wasn't gifted in that area, because it was backed up by a life with overwhelming application. So we need to be very careful. If God has a messenger who has a message, anyone who comes into our pulpit, maybe ladies at a ladies' Bible study or something, there's a message there, and God has that message for us, and he wants us to pay attention to it.